More revenue does not fix a broken system. It amplifies the problem. You haven't actually got to the core issue. 43% of this industry, so of you guys in the trades, you don't actually have enough working capital to operate the business you're operating right now. And it doesn't become apparent because you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul and living off certain deposits. And suddenly through the year, 20% of businesses in this industry are failing due to cash flow problems alone. And the issue with these cash flow problems is they're not identified when they actually start. They're identified when it's kind of too late. You're in the game of, like I said before, of 1%. You only have 100 of them to go around. 100% of revenue is 100% of revenue. So how are you manipulating and managing and strategizing around those 1% to make proper margin to create a sustainable organization? This episode of Contractor Evolution is a re-release of a Breakthrough Academy web class. Keep listening for step-by-step guides on how to implement high-impact business systems into your organization. You can download the resources and templates discussed in this web class in the link in the description. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Good morning, good afternoon for some. Welcome to our web class today on financial secrets for $10 million contractors. The things that we've seen and learned within our membership, things we've taught for a lot of years, to help with cash flow, to help with understanding your benchmarks in your industry, and ultimately just how to be more profitable. Because I think we can all probably agree, we put a lot of work into these businesses. And even missing by 1, 2, 3, and a lot of us 5 to even 10% on net profit sucks. Or having cash crunches mid-year is not fun. And so today I hope to give you some parameters, some systems, some things you can actually take and use out of this to help you have a better season, to make a bit more money, and to avoid any kind of crazy cash crunches that tend to come up in our industry. So I would love to hear from you. Have you ever had this happen where you do say $1 million in revenue? QuickBooks even tells you you've made, say, 100 grand, but there's nothing in the bank account or you're negative. And I want you to be honest with me. How many have had this happen in the last 12 months, maybe 24 months? And it creates a bit of a panic scenario. Who's felt this in their business? It's like we're making money, or it appears we are, but somehow we don't have any actual like profit left over. Danielle, you've raised your hand. Thanks. Let me know in the chat, because I look at not only, you know, what happens as a result of this, but the actual like mental strain this has on so many of us. And my biggest hope today is to uncover what's really going on in this and give you guys tools and templates and parameters to be able to fix this. What happens, you know, emotionally is I think a lot of us have this reflex of like, we got to get more sales. We're behind. We need to get more revenue in the door. And you go out and hustle and start to sell more. And I've seen this with a lot of members. And what I'll tell you from years of doing this is more revenue does not fix a broken system, right? It amplifies the problem. You haven't actually got to the core issue. And this is a very dangerous place to be. There's some interesting data we pulled just building this session, but 43% of this industry, so of you guys in the trades, you don't actually have enough working capital to operate the business you're operating right now. And it doesn't become apparent because you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul and living off certain deposits. And suddenly through the year, 20% of businesses in this industry are failing due to cash flow problems alone. And the issue with these cash flow problems is they're not identified when they actually start. They're identified when it's kind of too late, right? And something as simple as an annual budget that helps you see a plan a year in advance and see where you're going is not being built correctly. Actually, so we work with, I think, over 1,900 businesses at this point. Our sales team takes a bit of a tally of who has a budget, who doesn't. About 75% of the people that we interact with don't even have an annual budget to project where things are going. And this is a problem, right? This leads us to being very reactive. This leads us to unneeded stress. And I hope through this next hour, it'll give you some light on how to fix this. And I'm no saint in this. I mean, I'm here speaking about this, but I've been in business since I was 18 and I was not a person of the spreadsheets and the numbers. And I was a hustler. My whole game was like, I will work 80 hours a week to be successful in business. Right. I remember my motto back in the day when I first started was like, I may not outsmart you, but I will certainly outwork you. And that honestly, that worked for a while. When we were in a good economy, I was able to kind of like just make it happen regardless. And then 2008 happened. And maybe let me know in the chat, how many of you operated your business in 2008? Because things shifted. Give me some yes or no's in the chat. But there was a big financial shift. It was fairly sudden. And the ability to just work more hours to fix issues wasn't working anymore. And I needed a different approach. I needed to understand the financial game I was actually playing because every percent suddenly mattered. It couldn't just be made up with more easy to get revenue or higher charge rate I could charge a customer to make up for lost profit. And the biggest thing that I realized along the way is like, man, like at this point, I was leading 100 staff and it was my responsibility to lead them to success. And I couldn't do that if I barely even knew my numbers, right? A lot of it was a guess. And so I introduced a bunch of rigor to the stuff we're going to talk about today. Things around budgeting, things around job costing, and things around cash flow projections. And it was interesting for me because suddenly I had not one lever, which was just revenue. I had like 52 levers I could pull up or down to financially engineer my year. And what was really cool for me, and I think for those of you who maybe went through this and saw the numbers as you went through 2008, our revenue went down, but net profit actually went up because I was finally paying attention to what mattered. Now, it wasn't fun to go through that, but it was a forced education that I think a lot of us, when we're in good times, we get away with murder. And some of you might have a tighter year than you've had in the past. Some of you might be feeling the higher interest rates, whatever it is. And that's hopefully why you're here right now. But I think for all of us, these are lessons that whether it's good times or bad times, we need to learn from these things. So along the way, I took a lot of these concepts and started to build them, not just for myself, but for others. And in 2015, we built something called Breakthrough Academy, where the whole idea was how do we build out franchise level systems, which is what I was involved in for many years, into non-franchised companies, right? And that's where a lot of this is going to come from today. Now, it's been 10 years since we started this, but we've implemented this stuff I'm going to talk to you today with about 1,900 contracting businesses across North America. And I'll show you some interesting stats, but the numbers don't lie. Right now, we have about $2 billion under management. Now, that's not our revenue. That's all of our members. And I watch as on average, about 25% increase in revenue happens year over year, which is good. That's a bit of the economy. That's a bit of them going after, you know, sales and marketing in the right way. But what's really interesting for me to watch is net profit is increasing by 69% in the first 12 months of working with us. And what is that? Like, that's much higher than revenue. That's all the inefficiencies that exist in your business. And I'm telling you, there's a lot. You'll hear this word 1% as I go through today, but how many 1% are being vaporized in your job sites, in the way you spend your overhead, in the way that you operate right now, because you're not paying attention, right? You only have so many 1% to go around that can actually hit the bottom line and be profit. Right, we all have 100% of revenue goes down and eventually becomes some percentage of revenue. How many of those 1% are being vaporized? Maybe let me know in the chat. And this is just going to be a guess for you right now, but how much percentages are being kind of like lost to inefficiencies, to missteps, to lack of foresight, to a little bit of just I'm going out and hustling and I can't quite see it until it's already happened? Are you losing 1%? Are you losing 5% a year to this? You're losing some of you 10%, I've seen in some of our members, but this is a guess for you. But how much percentages do you think you're missing? Because you just don't quite have your finger on the pulse. Things are going a little too crazy. Robert, thanks for being honest. 5 to 8%. It's big, right? Gabriel, 2%. And this amplifies as the business grows, right? Like 5% of $1 million business is $50,000. That's actually a full-time administrative salary for someone that could probably take care of a lot of these financial, you know, oversteps. But when you get to 5 million, that amplifies to even more. When you get to $10 million, that's $500,000 in revenue that can be vaporized because of inefficiencies and how you structured your business from start, right? So this is what we're going to get into today. So there's three core systems that I want to touch on. One is annual budgeting, because I believe it's the foundation of so much that comes down to good decision-making and more long-term forecasting. We're going to talk about effective job costing. I know a lot of us do it, but I think there's a lot of money made and lost on the job site that we don't see until it's too late. And then we're going to talk a bit about cash flow planning, because this is a hidden layer that a lot of you don't really know. Like, is this a profitability issue why I don't have money in the account, or is this a cash flow issue? And if we can see some of these things in advance, let's say 3 to 6 months in advance, we can avoid a lot of it. So to help with this, I'm going to give you guys templates on all these things. I'm going to give you guys a job costing tracker so you can actually see job by job how much profit you've made. I'll give you guys a budgeting worksheet that actually helps you build a budget from last year's actuals to this year's projections and actually gives you a full walkthrough, like step-by-step walkthrough how to do it. And I'm going to give you a cash flow projector so you can start to look out a few months in advance and see where cash crunches may exist. So let's get into some of these systems. So let's start with budgeting. This to me is just decision clarity. This is getting the emotion out of it a little bit and seeing how do you set up the best financial model for the organization given where it's at currently, and how do you make adjustments and decisions based on this budget as well. So I'm going to give you a tool on this. It'll look a little bit, I'll just give you a preview of it. It'll look a little bit like this. but it has in it a complete instruction manual on how to build this out. So today I'm just going to give you kind of a high level view of it and how to use it. But the basic idea is we're going to understand last year's numbers or what we actually did in revenue, variable expenses, overhead, and profit, and build out a plan for the next fiscal year, right? And use last year's numbers as a guide and almost as like a story we can read through the numbers to play out a story we can write for the next 12 months. And one of the big things that I think a lot of us need to do in this process is not just go with this current chart of accounts we have, because a lot of us, our accountant sets it up or it's good for taxes. I want you all to set up your chart of accounts so it's effective for decision-making, right? You're the entrepreneur. You're the one in the driver's seat. And what you track and how you track it has to allow you to see the picture for what it really is. So I'll give you a view of what this looks like. So this is just like, you know, a pretty basic overview, but just, I'll go over some of these categories and then we'll get into some of the weeds on this thing. So basic idea, we've got last year's actuals. We can see our revenue, which actually have split up if you see. So you all have different splits, but this one's roofing, insurance, repairs, and gutters. But I recommend you do this, especially when it comes to job costing, so you can start to see where your profit centers really lie. And it's important for you to realize, like, what is the mix up of revenue that I need to have to hit a proper gross profit margin, right? Some jobs you do are very unprofitable, but they just keep the calendar together for your team to go work. Some jobs are your profit centers. And what's the combination of those two that equals a good year? We've got our variable expenses. So these are basically the costs of doing the project, right? So material, labor, subs, things of that sort. We've got our variable expense costs. So we can see overall how much we're spending to produce these projects. That then equals our gross profit. And then finally, we've got our fixed expenses. These are all the things that have to be spent regardless of how much revenue you do in the business. So we look at our last fiscal year and we start to make a plan for this year. And I've even actually got a section you can go current year actual so you can see how you're trending. But slowly, as we get into this, we can start to build out our year more intentional. So if you see in this scenario, I've got last year, you know, we made 37% gross profit on the job. This year, I'm projecting to make 43.8. It's a good lift, but I can't just wish that into existence, right? Like what I've done here is I've said, okay, materials were 23.5% of the project last year. We're going to bring them down to 21. That's wishful thinking if it just sits in an Excel sheet. What actually tangibly are you going to do line item by line item, change management, to make that a reality, right? So I'll just show you some examples, but you want to be writing notes as you go through this. So on this one, this is just an example for you, but I might be leaning into one of my suppliers where I buy 70% of a certain thing from and negotiating prices because I know I can get a volume discount on this thing and it's time to lean in. Or I might realize for my subcontractors, there's a ton of stuff that they're doing that I'm not charging the customer for properly. So we need to start an online approval process for all of our change orders because I can't get stuck in the middle paying all this. And based on the story of last year, you can get a good rough guesstimation of what that'll equal in savings for the next fiscal year. And so of all the things I'm going after in the year, these are the big ones that I'm going to make some pretty clear change in to bring my gross profit from 37% up to 43.8. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but that number is important, and we'll come back to this in a second, but that number becomes ingrained in my head. I need to now go out and actually achieve that for every job we go produce, or at least have that hit the average overall. I can then take that money, right? So what I'm basically saying is I have a $2.2 million that I have now that I can do something with. Now, I can't put it all in the bank because I still got to run a company, but I got to disperse that down into my overhead. Now, a lot of us get caught into, well, that's just what we've always done, or that's just how we've always, you know, that's what that person gets paid and has always been paid that, or that's just the subscriptions we've always had. It's time to go through this with a fine-tooth comb and really start to understand what's driving value in your organization and what's dead weight. Because the goal of overhead allocation isn't to like try and save a bunch of money and scrimp and save on every little tiny thing. It's to reallocate it properly, right? Profitability or money, let's say it's like dollars in the business, is very different than dollars in the personal. Dollars in the personal is something you might want to save. You might want to find a bunch of areas you can cut back, yada, yada, yada. Dollars in the business is energy. It's an opportunity to deploy it in a way that allows the business to grow, to be more successful, to be more sustainable. And as an owner, to set you up for success so that you have the right lifestyle that you want. You can't be all the energy. Trust me, I tried. My team used to call it Danny Octane. It was exhausting. But I was all things to all people all the time. And I realized like, no, wait a minute. Like I have money I can use to help with this, with key people, key automations, key systems, key elements of my organization that I can deploy to help bring an ROI to the organization. That's not just me, the entrepreneur anymore, right? Now in doing this, I'm doing this a year in advance, right? So I'm sitting down and if you're midway through your year, it's still not too late to do this. I'd recommend you do this. but I'm starting to think through what should I increase costs on? What should I decrease on? Why? And what's the, again, the story that I want to play out? So in this scenario, we're going to hire an extra salesperson, but we're not going to hire them until Q3. So I've added a few extra costs there. I'm going to give myself a raise because based on the revenue increase and the profitability increase, this should allow me to pay myself strategically a little bit more, not just randomly on a Tuesday because I deserve a raise. I'm going to double down on marketing. You can see here, I've brought my marketing expenses from $100,000 up to $200,000, right? I realize the market's a little softer than it used to be. I have to combat that. Plus, I want to go for growth and I'll go in and start to figure out how much that needs to be. But in doing that, I'm reallocating other costs down to be able to do this. And I'm realizing if I do this properly, if this plays out the way it should, I'll go from a net of 3.7 up to 11.7. Now, again, this hasn't happened yet, but I'm thinking a year in advance where I'm placing my chips on the board, right? And yet so many of us have this type of overhead. Like this is a $1.6 million overhead. And we never think through this. Like, can you imagine going to a roulette table and just putting $1.6 million on a couple random numbers? Versus understanding the equation, understanding the odds, understanding the opportunity and the stories that play out so that I can allocate my chips in the most strategic way possible, right? So when you're budgeting, you're thinking through your revenue streams, you're thinking through your variable expenses, and you're thinking through your overhead. You're setting up your chart of accounts in a way that allow you to know what those things actually are, right? And then you're writing notes as you go through about key changes, both up and down on spend to set up the right financial picture for your organization. Now, I'll show you just a live file on this, but it becomes kind of fun too, because you can do things. You can be like, okay, if we do this, I actually want to get a nicer office and I'm going to put in an extra $100,000 to do that. And I'm coming down and I'm like, ooh, okay, it's dropped down to 9.7%. Is that okay with me? Right? Before I make any big decision, I see how it impacts our overall budget. Or hey, you know what? We're not trending for the $5 million growth I thought we were going to have. We're actually only trending for the $4 million we did last year. And because of that, and I've added this office expense, boom, this brings me down to 1.2%. I'm not getting that office, right? And so before I go and make some of these big choices, I'm starting to see how it plays out in my own financial model. One thing I did for a lot of years, especially through 2008, and I did it through COVID a little bit as well, and actually we're doing it now again, is we don't just build one budget. We build an A budget, which is our overall plan, and we build a B budget, which is our worst case scenario plan. And in that, you're going to write a whole bunch of different notes when you do that, because you're going to be cutting things, right? But you're writing those notes in advance before you're emotionally involved in them. And should the trend of the business start to lead that way, you have a clear instruction manual on how to still stay profitable, right? This is what I mean by, like, you have like 50 levers you can pull to make sure you still have a great year, regardless of what happens externally, right? It's your job as an entrepreneur to be that problem solver, to be that dynamic thinker, and not just to say, well, looks like we're going to make no money again. It's like, no, what are my options and opportunities to make sure this is still a good financial picture? So be aware of this. Set a budget. Play around with it. Set some notes for key change management. And if you're unsure of your year and unsure of how revenue will land, and you play out what you plan, but also play out a B scenario to see what bad looks like so that you're prepared ahead of time to actually make those changes before you're emotionally just strapped to them. So that's my first point, budgeting. We will give you a template on this. Play around with it. Have some fun. It is a way to engineer your future and to make sure you're not just randomly throwing money at problems, right? That you're strategically thinking through them. Now, I want to ask you guys about this. When it comes to that kind of thought, not just building a budget, but thinking in that way, where do you think you sit right now in this? Are you kind of a 1 to a 4 where really you just wait for your accountant to tell you how things went in your end? You know, that feeling of like, did we make money? Right? Are you 1 to 4? Let me know in the chat. Are you more of a 4 to 7 where you know your numbers, but you don't track it and give it that level of thought and consistency? Or are you more of a 7 to a 10 where you're at CFO level, you're looking at your financials and your dashboards weekly, and you're allocating the right things to the right areas of the organization? So Gabriel's 4, Robert 8, Lena 6. Thanks for being honest. Kara 6. Cool. Yeah, all of us can improve. I can improve on this too, right? But again, it comes down to like, am I willing to do this work? Because how important are these 1% that I need to fight for within my organization? All right, let's get into concept number 2, job costing. This is the battlegrounds, right? This is, we've built a plan, but now we need to go make it real. And this was actually, I remember doing this for a lot of years. This was not something I always did, you know, sequentially and properly until 2008 hit, but it made me realize that this has to have a place in the calendar. We do this every single week and we go goals versus actuals, right? Actuals versus job versus estimate
to make sure we're actually hitting margin so we can make live time changes in how things are being estimated, how things are being executed, how things are being brought in, right? And in doing this, I can start to find my profit sweet spots. What crews are making me the most amount of money? What types of jobs are making me the most amount of money? What area, what locations, maybe I've had multiple locations, are making me the most amount of money and why, right? And from that, I can take actionable insights live time and start to make change in the organization. All right, so very simple, right? Like then you'll see a sheet that you'll get for this for downloads, but I'm just putting in the job or the job, the PO number. I'm putting in the revenue stream or sales rep or crew or area. I'm putting in a variable of what that job is all about. I'm putting in the amount of revenue that that job's booked for. And for those of you who have internal staff versus you run off of subs, I'm putting in the amount of hours that are allocated to that project. And what I can start to do with that is I can see what should happen. And I can go again, goal versus actual on this. So I can see what should happen versus what actually happened. So I'm putting in my labor subs, disposal, sales commission. So I'm putting all my variable expenses in and I can see, ooh, this job's not going to make us any money, right? This job's a little bit below our target for our budget. So even though I made money, I'm not happy with this. I'm like, hey, my average was supposed to be 43.7 or whatever it is, gross profit for that overhead to make sense. So either we increase our trend on these projects soon or we have to cut back on overhead. So I start to make some change. I start to get it back up, but I can see change happening as we go through the year. Another kind of neat thing, if you do put in your team's hours, you can see how many gross profit dollars you're making per hour worked on the job site. And I can see how much are my people actually producing profitably for the organization. So it's one thing to keep your people busy, right? It's a totally different thing to make sure that every hour they work is in a profitable way. And I know a lot of you do this, especially when you're tight, because you start to book work lower than you should. And you say, at least we're just keeping the calendar going. And I'm like, yeah, but guys, you have overhead still. And you have to hit a certain margin to make that make sense. Otherwise, you're just drowning yourself for the future. It might feel good in the moment, but 6 months from now, that problem's going to arise. Now, if you tag this stuff, and you'll see you can do this in the sheet, you can start to see breakdowns of overalls, right? So I can see by revenue stream, how things went, and I can start to see how each one's actually performing. This is a roofing example, but I can see, okay, on average, our residential re-roofs are at 27%. That's pretty low for the margin I'm trying to achieve. Insurance is holding up the bar at 47, and our repairs are doing really well at 56. Now, I can't change everything overnight, but I definitely can start to realize that I can only do so much roofing work at 27% before my overall margin actually starts to dip. So that either needs to go up, or we need to do less of that and get more into insurance or repair or whatever it would be. But again, seeing this in advance doesn't just tell me how a job is doing. It tells me how an overall work type is doing. Or you can organize this by sales rep and see which sales reps are booking the right work. You can organize this by location. You can organize this by crew that's working on the job and start to understand where your attention, energy, and effort needs to be. Now, I think stage one is to build this out in an Excel sheet, which I'll give you. I think stage two is to start to build this into your project management software. How many of you use Noify or use a project management software like Noify? Because what this allows you to do now is not just kind of build this all out, you know, in Google Sheets, but to have live job tracking in real time. So you know your actual costs, right? You can run your labor, material, and subs live time and see your schedule of goal versus actual. And that way you're looking at this as it's going on versus 2 months later, right? It allows you also with faster billing too. So you can have faster cash in, cleaner bills so they can make sure that you're not, and we'll talk about this in cash flow in a second, but you can make sure that things are flowing through the business properly. And one of the biggest things I love is this gives you historical data, right? This helps me understand how my estimating is actually doing and make changes as we go through the year. A lot of you use Noify, cool. Yeah, no, I recommend them. We work with a lot of our members and they've got good dashboards for a lot of this. Now, it's just not Noify alone. I would say Noify mixed with QuickBooks and syncing those two up, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a second. So I thought I would do this because everyone was asked, but like, what does actually good look like when it comes to margins off projects? What should I be shooting for? Maybe let me know in the chat, what industry are you in? Because I've got a couple that I've teed up. I've got a couple more that I've hidden, but give me the industry. Are you in landscaping, construction, plumbing, electrical, painting, roofing? Let me know which one you're in. I've got three I teed up, but I'm going to show you the benchmarks for some of these industries based on what we've pulled from our members. I'll start with a few while you guys are going. So first, plumbing and electrical, your gross profit, if you're doing service work specifically, should be over 50%. That'd be exceptional anyways. And that should equal a net of over 18. If you're anything below 40% on your service work, you're not making enough money to be sustainable. If you're anything below 12% net, this is not a sustainable organization to keep growing. You need to adjust something. It's a little bit different if you're in construction, right? So you're doing larger projects, but exceptional is over 45%. If you're doing less than 35% gross on these projects, it's not a very sustainable, scalable thing. If your net profit is over 16, you're in good shape. If you're below 10, again, as you grow, this is going to become a systemic issue as overhead starts to take over. Okay. Let's go with remodelers. So your gross profit should be over 40. If it's under 25, you're not billing enough. You're not billing properly. Your net should be over 15. Again, if it's under 5, you're starving. I see a few other industries in here, so I'll go through some of these. Painting, 47%. Low end, 42. Net should be over 20. Anything less than 12, not good. That's for residential. Commercial is over 47 and 42. Actually, it's very similar. Landscaping, exceptional over 37%. Anything under 30 on gross is a problem. Net should be over 20. Anything under 10, you should not be scaling this business up until you figure this out. And that's for the construction side of landscaping. For maintenance side, gross should be over 55%. Anything below 45 is not good. Net should be over 18. Anything under 10, again, is not sustainable. Roofing, over 45. Anything below 40, not good for gross margin. And net should be over 15. Anything below 10 is not good. Again, that's retail insurance. Commercial, again, larger projects. Exceptional over 35. Anything below 30, not good. And net should be over 15. Anything below 10, not good. It is interesting. Something I've noticed in all these numbers is gross and net vary a little bit, but generally in the industry, the higher average job size you have, the lower gross margin you make, but the less overhead you have to service that. And so net turns out to be roughly the same, right? I will say builders doing large projects are a little bit different. When you're doing electrical or large scale construction, that's the one that I've seen a little bit different. But again, you guys have much larger projects. So just a cool just testimonial. This is Sean Tobin. I brought Sean in years ago for BT. Actually, I literally remember still going to his office. It was dark. He was depressed. And this is why. He was doing about $1 million. Gross was around 27. His net was at 3.5. It was razor thin. We worked with him for a while on this. We not only grew revenue, so we doubled his business, but we brought his gross up to 50%. The guy had no financial optics on what his numbers were, what his job costs were, how his overhead was impacting all of this, right? His pricing was kind of a guess. And right now, I literally just got off the phone with him yesterday before this webinar to make sure I could put this up for you guys. But he has real-time financial visibility on his data. He's got job costing done on every job. He's got clear gross profit targets. Actually, what he's done, which is really cool, is he's given his project managers gross profit targets. So they know what percentage they need to make on these projects, and they know how much dollars per hour they need to make with their crews. Price is tied to costs, right? And margins. His overhead is planned, like we just showed in that budgeting, way in advance. And he's got stable cash flow, right? He's out of his line of credit completely. Small changes make a big difference over time. Okay, let's get into cash planning. So all this is great. You can set a budget. You can be, okay, this is what we need to go for. This is the levers that I can pull to get us to this perfect number on our bottom line. You can then go out and execute it and like have pretty good job costs and make margin on every project you're after. But cash flow can still fail you. How many of you have felt this before? It's like, we are profitable. Things seem to be good. I have no freaking money in the account. It's because a lot of us don't think through our cash flow planning properly, right? If we're on accrual accounting within QuickBooks, it's really hard to see. And if we don't really understand the cash in, cash out scenarios, we can get ourselves into hot water. I want you to be honest with me, but how many of you in your entrepreneurial career have had to run to the bank account, maybe to take it from a loan or to take it from your own personal account, deposit it into that thing on a Friday so that payroll can go through on the weekend? Who's had this? I've had this. It's not fun. It's one of the like most demeaning things I've had to do in my career. But it's real. And it's due to a lack of cash planning. All right. Let's go through a very visual definition of this, just so we're all on the same page. What is cash flow? Well, there's cash inflows, right? So imagine that a tap, that's the water coming in. There's your current cash position, which is your bank accounts, the dollars that's sitting in the account right now. And there's your cash outflows, the dollars flying out, right? If you think of this like a bucket, if there's more coming out of the hole in the bottom of that bucket than there is flowing in, it's only a matter of time before that thing depletes. Now, this will happen in any business. You will have moments where you have more flowing out than you have flowing in. And that's okay if you've got a tight cash position, right? But if that thing keeps depleting week after week, month after month, it's only a matter of time before you hit zero or below zero. And this is what we got to be aware of. So let's just talk about some terms and then I'll show you some examples. So what are cash inflows? Well, they're deposits on sale, right? So when I do a project and I book it, I should be collecting some sort of a deposit. They're my progress payments. So as I'm producing longer work than say a week and I've got progress payments from my customer, that's when I scheduled to get paid for these projects, right? For the work that we've done and the things that we've executed on. And there's my completion payments. When we are done, we're getting paid, right? Hopefully. Some of us have set up net 30, net 60, net 90 day contracts that really matters when those completion payments are scheduled. Now, given this, this might be our only thought of the options we have, but when we build out our cash flow plan, we can play with some other variables as well. We can play with external financing and we can see in advance if there's issues that we can plug the holes with a line of credit. There's AR collection. So many of us do not have a good process around this or just simply avoid this and just hope our customer will pay when they're ready. But this can sink a business if it's not planned out ahead of time. And then there's, if it very much need be, there's asset sales, things that are sitting on the books, things that are sitting in your yard right now, potentially, that aren't being used, but you like it, but maybe something's changed in the business and maybe it's time to sell it. There's cash outflows. So these are some of the things we've talked about, your variable expenses, so your labor, subs, materials, and so on. There's your overhead expenses. So those are the things that don't care how big your business is. They're committed capital that every month need to be paid. There's also a nonprofit and less items. This is where some people get a little hung up. They don't realize the loan repayments aren't being tracked in the same way on their balance sheet or on their budget sheet. There's taxes paid at the end of the year. Do you have the allocated capital ready for that? Or are you blind to that? And then there's owner's withdrawals, which at times it might be good as an owner to just take out money when you make lots and starve yourself when you don't. But man, I'm telling you, long-term, that is no way to run a business. And so we'll get a bit into how to make that more sustainable. But really, a lot of us need to set a salary for ourselves that's reminiscent of what they actually would do in the company. So if we're managing as a GM, we should pay ourselves a GM level salary, not more and not less, and make sure that the business is financially stable given that salary we pay ourselves. I talk to some people and they're like, man, I make way more than 10%. I make like 30% net profit on the jobs. I'm like, yeah, but do you allocate your cost to the business? Because you're setting up the business as a model to work. You're an employee of that model. You need to charge yourself appropriately, not more, not less, but appropriately, right? So let's go through some destroyers that can really mess this system up. The first one is a calculation that I want all of you to be aware of. And I don't know if you've done this before, but I really suggest after this webinar, you go and do this. The number one thing you can start to look at is your overhead efficiency. This is calculated as a percent of revenue spent on your fixed expenses. So how much revenue are you doing versus how much overhead you have in the company? And sometimes when we go for broke and we just like, we're going to grow this company, I'm going to hire all these people, I'm going to get this office, I'm going to get these new trucks. Be aware of how that impacts your overhead efficiency. As a business grows, you'll go through dip points. That's totally fine to have overhead efficiency go down momentarily, but that can't be the long-term plan, right? If I'm going to hire a project manager and a sales manager and an office admin because I'm finally going to get out of the day-to-day and I'm going to give it down to my team, I need to calculate the cost of that and how much does that increase my overhead or decrease my overhead efficiency? And is that actually sustainable? And if so, for how long? Right. If I'm going to hire those roles, I can have that dip maybe for 8 months, but by year two, those roles need to create a better overhead efficiency than what I had previously. Right. So what's the growth required to actually even do that? How much revenue do I need to do to support that newfound overhead? There's materials and subs, right? And I think there's two kinds of companies that sit in this category, but there's ones who pass the rising costs onto their clients, and there's those who get caught holding the bag. Right. And this comes up in a couple different ways, but inflation's been a thing. And I thought I was going to finally slow down. We all did, but it looks like it's not. Right. So we need to update our terms and conditions so that the estimates we give and the jobs we do are only valid for, you know, say the estimates for 1 to 2 weeks, because that's how fast material changes can happen. And we shouldn't be paying for the increased costs on this. Your deposits need to cover your material, your sales commissions, and any starting of the job costs, so that you're not putting it out in your own pocket, right? One thing I want to say about this is you are not a bank. You can't afford to be a bank. Stop being a bank for all of your customers. if you're paying something that costs you money to produce that project, best case scenario is that you're using their money to do it, not yours. And I get that there are certain contracts that that's not possible. We're going to get into this in cash flow in a second. So how much can you actually afford to do when it comes to holding those costs and for how long? And in every other scenario, you need to set up the financial situation where you're getting paid first and you're using that money to do the project, not your own, right? And this is for a lot of you who run subs or run other contractors underneath you. Make sure you have a what's called a pay when paid clause in your agreements. So that ensures that obviously when you're getting paid, you're able to distribute those funds down. You cannot and should not put in what's called a pay if paid clause. It's too aggressive. It's not fair, actually. But a pay when paid clause is reasonable. Actually, I did a really cool podcast with a construction lawyer on this, and this was a big takeaway even I had on it. So, all right. So that's number two, materials and subs and the way you structure that. Next thing, shiny objects. How many of you love buying cool, right? I'm not saying not to, but what I'm saying is know the difference between what is a capital investment, which is a part of the budget, it's planned for, it has a measurable ROI that's going to bring value to the organization versus dead weight, right? It requires you to think and have some strategic thought around it, and it's necessary for where you're going in the business long term. That's very different than a shiny object, right? That's something that's more emotional. It's like, I just love it. I just want that truck wrap to look awesome. I want that truck to be, you know, whatever it is. I want that office to look amazing. It's like, I get it, but has your business earned that yet? Is it the right thing or is this just an impulse buy? And just so you know, capital investments often should be covered by bank loans or by the bank's money. And so you're paying it slowly over time versus using all your capital from your company and soaking it into this one thing. Because it'll affect you long term. So know the difference. And the next big thing is AR collection. You can let me know in the chat or not, but how many of you have probably more AR than is comfortable? You can feel it. You can see it. People owe you money. You need to have a process around this. So first step, someone has to be in charge of it. It can't just be generally everyone. Is it the administrator in your office? Is it the project manager on that project? Is it potentially you? There needs to be a assigned owner to this. There needs to be a weekly AR review process. This can be fairly simple, but it's 20 minutes of who owes us money, how long have they owed it, what have we done for communication to collect. If they need a script, build a script for your team, because sometimes your team's a little bit hesitant to ask for money or they don't do it assertively enough. So make sure you have an assertive script built out for this. And don't just rely on people time and phone calls. Build this into your automations, into your text and email communications. So at day zero, at day seven, day 14, day 30, you kind of get the idea. One thing I'll say about these automations, make them lovingly assertive and increasingly lovingly assertive as time goes on. The biggest thought around this is just stop avoiding it, right? The chart off to the right, this is some data we pulled, but over basically most of you, over 40% of you, don't get paid for over a month, which means all the costs of operating for that month, including your variable expenses, are completely on your books until you can collect that money. If you can shorten that by even a week, what does that do to your overall trajectory for your business? So what killed overhead? Not understanding your overhead efficiency. The wrong terms and setup with your subs and materials between how you collect and how you pay. Getting distracted by shiny objects and not allocating it properly to the budget and strategically understanding what brings value and what doesn't. And having a shitty AR process or a poor AR process. Sorry. Right? Just plugging these four things should help you get to a much better state for the year and being aware of this. And the one thing I'll say that's underlying in all of this is that money loves speed, right? And you need to start to think through how this all flows to the business, right? And I've seen this in most of the businesses we work with. There's cash smart companies who've automated most of this workflow. And there's cash poor companies that have all this workflow currently being done manually. And so we talked about this earlier, but like the combination of having QuickBooks and say like a Noify integration can help you actually see what's going on live time, can help you make sure your costs are tracked properly and bill faster along the way. So if you haven't set up these automations or if it's all still being done manually in the system, this would be a good year to start to think through that. Most companies at this point, the expectation is you have QuickBooks, you have a project management software. The next stage is that you use it to its full degree, right? So I want to see who's been paying attention. I want to play a bit of a game with you guys. Take a look at this financial picture, okay? So we've got a company that's starting January with $40,000 in the bank. They've got some cash inflows, all the stuff we've talked about. They've got some cash outflows, again, all the stuff we've talked about. And they're going into February negative five grand. They continue that process and they're going into March negative 16 grand. This is an issue because this is the cash that's available to the company, which means by February, they're not going to be able to pay for something. And by March, that's going to creep in even further. What are the options or what are the levers that this business can pull to help mitigate this situation before it happens? Let's say we're looking at this January 3rd after New Year's. We've drawn up our projections. We see this problem. We're like, whoop, what can I do? What I would recommend is we look at this line item by line item to make decisions on what we can do. And maybe let me know in the chat, based on what we just talked about, what are their options? Can they do something with the way they collect their deposits? Or maybe their progress payments, their completion payments. Can they maybe secure some external financing ahead of time? Can they collect some AR they've been lacking to collect over the holiday season? Can they do an equipment sale if they have to, right? Potentially, can they mitigate some of their overhead? Look, they're adding $10,000 of new overhead going into the new year. What are their options? Let me know in the chat. Tammy, you get a, I don't have anything to give you. It's digital, but thanks for being first to this. Collections, deposits. Yeah. Megan, line of credit, overhead efficiency. Yeah. Pay when paid subs. Awesome. Right. We have options. And the beautiful thing is if we see this before it actually happens, we can do something about it. Right. And so there, boom, I just quickly changed something. What did I change? I collected $5,000 worth of AR in January and I stopped this new addition of overhead until March. Doesn't mean we're not doing it. It means it's just going to wait 2 months because our company would be in too tight of a situation if we did. I'm being fiscally responsible. So I don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul. Right. So what am I saying in this? I'm going to give you a cash flow projector that looks something like this. And what I want you to do is project out 90 days, right? It doesn't have to be all 12. You'll see 12 months in advance you can do, but just do 90 days and start to get an idea of what's coming. Consider each line item like a lever, like an option that you can tweak to be able to improve the cash flow situation. And that allows you to implement the changes before the cash crunch comes, right? You want to go get a line of credit? It's a lot easier to do when there's already money in the account, right? Banks love giving you money when you have it. They hate giving you money when you have none. And this is your chance to optically see what's coming before the bank ever sees it, secure that line of credit, and make sure you're good to go for that dip, right? Or whatever that solution would be. So we do a lot at Breakthrough Academy with our members, but one of the big things is stuff we've talked about, right? And this is the results. You know, we've got Aaron that went from 2 to 10 million. His net went from 5% up to 19. There was 15 points of net that wasn't being realized in a smaller organization. And as he scaled it, not only did he make more revenue, but he made more margin, which you don't always see as a business grows, right? There's Walter, who's actually probably going to roof my roof this year. But we took him from 3 to 8 million. We took his gross, which was like dying, from 13 up to 37. The guy was working on most sites just to be able to make margin because he wasn't charging properly. And we took his net from 1.7 to 10. 1%. It's this game of 1%. And how do we play it? And I would hate to see either of these guys scale to the size they did with the current margins they were making, right? If you're going to scale a business, you need to get the financial model right first so it's sustainable as you grow. Okay. So let's recap on where we've come and maybe let me know in the chat what your biggest takeaway was. So we talked a bit about budget. We talked a bit about playing out a last year's budget or last year's actuals to pit out this year's budget game, writing notes on each chart of account on key changes that we want to make so we get the financial model right. Potentially even writing up an A and a B budget, given that if we don't hit certain revenue markers, we can make sure we don't go blow a ton of money on costs that we projected that we probably shouldn't spend, right? We talked a bit about job costing and making sure that this is done in a timely manner, making sure that we're not just looking at estimates, but estimates versus actuals to see how they perform. Every job is looked at to make sure it's hitting gross profit targets based on what the budget requires us to be. So if we want to hit 43% margin on jobs on average, what jobs are below that, what jobs are above that, and then categorizing those into key chunks by crew, by service type, so on, right? So we can see trends of how we're doing. And then finally, we talked about cash flow, which is all about understanding at least 3 months in advance where we're heading and looking at each line item as a lever that we can pull to change the scenario before it becomes an issue. These are simple little things that I think for a lot of us, we avoid, especially when we know it's not going to be a good picture, right? But the avoidance behavior, or this, that I'm too busy, or I've delegated this to somebody else, is not going to fly as a business grows. This is your opportunity as an entrepreneur, not just to run from your gut, but to run from your head and your gut, or your head and your heart in combination. And that's what creates a lot of success with the people I've worked with for a lot of years. Not having this tends to have you working more than you should as well, right? Maybe let me know this, but how much of your week is spent putting out fires versus building the future? Because I used to notice this as the years went on, that I was like, I'm working 80 hours a week, and 40 of that is like my job as the leader of this organization. The other 40 was just putting out fires. And I was like, I feel busy and I feel needed because I'm constantly busy, but a lot of it is reactionary crap that I just didn't plan for in advance. And I was just running that way. I was like, I guess that's what an entrepreneur is. Everyone talks about being an entrepreneur. You got to work hard, right? But the reality was half my time was wasted on crap that I could have just, if I'd seen it ahead of time, I could have just made change on it. I've been in business, what am I, 39 now? I've been in business for 21 years. I now have a family. I've got 3 girls. I've got a wife that God has stayed with me since I was 16 years old. But I've had to learn this through the school of hard knocks, like 80-hour work weeks, 60-hour work weeks even, are not a sustainable way to run. And I need to get better at my financial game, at my leadership game, at the way that I saw the business. And I need to tune it up so that I'm not all the energy that goes and flows through everything. So to implement real change, this is what we started 10 years ago. We built Breakthrough Academy to help with this for the entire industry, for anyone in construction, renos, painting, roofing, landscaping, subtrades, or even services. There is a model that all of us need to be able to adopt if we're going to grow. It involves a few things. It's some of the stuff we talked about today, but you need to have a clear strategic plan. You need to know where you're going 3 years from now, what that goal numerically looks like, what that goal intrinsically looks like, what the vision actually is. And from that, we can break the goal down to the annual goals, quarterly initiatives, and start to actually every week work on the right stuff. And what this allows is a very like intentional dashboard where we can go goal versus actuals on your sales, on your production, and your financials. And as we go through the year with you, can actually see where we're trending and make adjustments live time, because we've got the data and we've got the ability to go from heart and head combined. What gets really neat is you can start to introduce these numbers down to your team, and you can build in KPIs or key performance indicators or numbers, goals for each person in your organization. So they don't just have a job to do, but they have a number to achieve and can be a part of the financial success of the company. And this is what brings real accountability. So it's not just you trying to tell everyone what to do, and you kind of transition from being everyone's boss to being everyone's coach. And you're there to run the team to win the playoffs, and they've each got a number that they're in charge of achieving, and you're there to help maintain it because you're aware of it, because you can track it, because you can lead it down to the organization. This is a big part of what we do here at Breakthrough Academy. Right? We essentially act as your guide to step you through the year, help define your processes, make sure they're actually implemented properly, even pair you with other owners so that you actually can see what others are doing that's creating a lot of the success. This allows you to have a strategic plan with your team. There's clarity and direction. You can remove yourself from the day-to-day more strategically and actually turn your vision into reality. What I've seen for your team is this gives them clarity in their role finally. Right? They get to drive company numbers with you and finally grow in their career because they're bringing real tangible ROI that's measurable along the way. So we don't work with everyone, but I do find this is like the sweet spot for us, right? It's construction, contracting, trades businesses between 1 and 15 million. You've been in business for a few years. You're not in startup mode. These numbers are starting to become pretty real, and you're starting to be able to manage them and need to manage them effectively. You want to grow. You're looking to systemize the company. You're probably doing a lot of this already, but it's a bit haphazard, right? You want to develop as a leader. You want to learn from others, right? It's so neat to watch our contractors basically just collaborate together and be like, I've already done that for 2 years. Doesn't work. Stop. It's like, well, that was $1 million idea that we can now shift. It's like to mastermind with other people in the industry openly and open book as well makes a huge difference. To be challenged and held accountable. And you actually care about this industry. Like you want to professionalize this thing. And you have to take the step yourself to do this and exemplify for others. So this is who we work with. And this is what we look for when we bring in a member. So for today, for some of you, this is the first time meeting me. Some of you, you've already signed up actually to sit down with us, but I'll give you one of two options, right? One is to book a strategy session, which Aaron, if you want to put the link up for everybody, you can do that now. And we can start to have this conversation, start to step through what's going on in your business and actually flip the tables from us talking a bunch to you. I would love to hear from you for 45 minutes or more. What's going well? What's not going well? What are your challenges? What are you working on? Give you a bit of advice and see if what we do actually would help you. I come from the world of franchising where my whole goal was to not find a bunch of people to go and operate under us, but to find the right people. So over those calls, there's a couple of them. We'll take some time to analyze your business and see if we can actually help you properly and create a good partnership between us and you guys. If you just want the templates today, totally cool. You'll get a budgeting tool, you get a job costing calculator, and you get a cash flow projection tool. It's the same link, and you can fill the sheet out. But if you're interested to chat with us, you'll see at the bottom it says, show me how Breakthrough Academy helps contractors with these resources. Just click yes, and then you'll be given a chance to actually book a one-on-one discovery call with us. It's right here. Do not put yes just to get the resources. You'll get them anyways. But if you do actually genuinely want to chat with us, make sure you put yes. If you use Noify or are lacking a good project management software, there's a chance to chat with Noify as well. You can put them in. They've been a great resource for us and really help us even do our job as coaches at BTA. But overall, this is my advice to you, right? One thing I know about being an entrepreneur myself is I'm a bit of a visionary brain, right? I have big ideas. I can see what's coming all the time. I live in the future probably more than I should, right? But as a result of that, I don't love details. And I struggle sometimes to even go through some of the stuff I'm teaching you guys. But it's our responsibility as an entrepreneur to get into this stuff and understand it to the nth degree. You should not just be delegating to this to someone in the office or to your accountant, to your bookkeeper. They're never going to understand the strategy the way you do as an entrepreneur. Right? You're in the game of, like I said before, of 1%. You only have 100 of them to go around, right? 100% of revenue is 100% of revenue. So how are you manipulating and managing and strategizing around those 1% to make proper margin to create a sustainable organization? Because it's not just about you anymore, even. It's about your people. Like, they rely on you for your livelihood. And it's your responsibility to take this seriously. And I'll tell you, man, once you get into some of this, it becomes fun. I call it like seeing the Matrix. If you know, like those green symbols going down the screen in the Matrix, you suddenly go from seeing that to seeing real imagery, seeing stories, to seeing opportunities, to seeing challenges, to seeing what's coming. And you can actually work the business in a much more dynamic way, right? You go from running the business on a 2D level to a 3D level. And you have a lot more reassurance. A lot of our members just say, man, I can finally like sleep at night. Like, I know what's going on. Sometimes the picture's not great, but at least I understand what we're going to do to fix it. It's when you don't know that panic ensues and you make short-term reactionary decisions, right? When you're high in emotion, you're low in intelligence, and you often make even worse financial decisions. So take some time to open yourself up to this, not just to build a budget, but to understand the strategy behind it. Not just to do job costing, but to see real cost centers and opportunities for shifting in every part of your organization as a result. And not just a cash flow plan, but to see all the levers you have to create sustainability. The market can do whatever it's going to do. It can go up, it can go down, it can be hard to hire, it can be hard to book work, whatever. That's welcome to being an entrepreneur. It's our job to understand the strategy around it, right? I remember my coach years ago when I went through 2007, I was like, there's just no work. Nobody wants to book anything. Everyone's holding onto their wallets. And he said, Danny, you have to remember, even in the worst financial recession we've had in our lifetimes, there are still billions of dollars flying through the air every single day in transactions. It's your job as an entrepreneur to figure out how to get out there and grab the right amount, right? So maybe I'll give that to you as well. Is this a closing thought? All right. If you guys haven't yet, Aaron just put the link up again, but click on the link, book a strategy session if you're interested to chat. Our whole operating model is to be there with you as long as it makes sense. We're not with, there's no one-year contracts. It's all month to month. And we're there to help implement this stuff properly. Build a strategic plan, to build proper financial management, to build the implementation process around doing this properly so you can lead your people and lead the company properly, and to give you basically years and years and years of insight so that you can collapse timeframes and get this stuff done once well. If you just want the templates, that's okay. It's the same form you fill out. Just don't indicate that you want to sit down with us, and you can grab those things and rock and roll. All right. While you're still filling that out, I will go to Q&A. Aaron, if you want to pull up the Q&A section. Okay, cool. How big is your team? I have 50 people on the team right now. So not small. And actually some pretty, I would say, intimately awesome, amazing humans. We have a large team of coaches. We've got a fairly robust marketing team, sales team, operations team, customer success team. And then we've got me, my business partner, Igor, and my business partner, James. I can operate Breakthrough Academy right now. So is there a suggested percent for OH efficiency, overhead efficiency? So Maria, this can vary based on the business and the industry. And as you saw, I had different industry benchmarks. So we have to go through your industry. We have to go through where you're currently at size-wise in the business. And we can start to understand the line, not even just like overall overhead, but like line item by line item, how much you should be spending on in-office staff, how much you should be spending on marketing, how much you, and so on. And so it does depend on a few things, because often what I see is like smaller average job sizes, aka like service work, they'll have like, I'll give you an example. Window cleaning has a massive margin, 60 to 70% gross profit off the project. A ton of overhead though, because they have tons of routing of trucks, tons of marketing, tons of like organization that's required on the back end to do that many jobs all throughout the day and route the whole orchestra. Whereas, you know, something like custom home building has a much tighter gross profit margin. So they have less overhead to spend, right? But they don't have as much overhead anyways, because there's large projects. They're on, you know, sites for a year sometimes with clients or longer. And it doesn't require, you don't have to go book 5,000 jobs. You book like 5 or 10, right? So the marketing budgets are different. So it depends on your industry. It depends on some of your benchmarks of where you're at. But we can use that to help understand what your overhead should be to create a proper gross profit or proper net profit, sorry. Is that more right? Feel free to type any questions you guys have. Aaron's going to grab them and put them in for me. Tara asks, examples of fixed expenses in this overhead efficiency equation. Let's pull them up. Here, I'll bring them up for you. This is specific to a roofing business, but a lot of you guys would be similar. Sales salaries and the benefits required to that. Sales or just vehicles and fuel. Administrative salaries, administrative vehicles and fuel. Training for your team, production salaries, their vehicles, owner salaries. This was an important one I said before. Make sure this is in the budget so you can actually see, is this a profitable model with me working in it for an acceptable salary? Marketing and advertising, consulting work, subscriptions, rent, right? Leases, utilities, phones and internet, software, office supplies, insurance, accounting and legal fees, bad debt, meals and entertainment, coaching, mentors, team events, charitable giving, payment processing, small tools or equipment, right? Safety supplies, bank fees, interest. These are some examples. So these are things that like company spends every single month, regardless of how much you produce in revenue. It's not tied to actually producing the job. It's just tied to the fact that this is what we need to run a company, right? Oh, we got more. Any success using QuickBooks Online projects, functionality for job costing? If set up properly, yes. Our coaches are the ones that work with a lot of our members on QuickBooks and their project management software. But we need to look at what software you're using on the project management side, what you're using QuickBooks for currently, and make sure we have a good tie-in between the two so that they talk. Sometimes a lot of the project management is done within, like job costing is done within the project management software. Sometimes it can be done within QuickBooks, depending on how you're set up and what your industry is. Download your templates. Budget template. Does it have actual or budget comparison? Yeah, it does. So actually, Danette, I'm going to show you what you're going to get here, but you're going to have a spot for last year's actuals. So what happened? This year's plan. Okay. And then it'll tie in the current year actuals. You can see through the year how you're doing. And what it does is depending on the percent of year you're in, you can actually put out your trend. So if I'm at like 50% of my year, it'll show me basically this times two, and it'll show me how we're trending for year end. So in this example, shows that, hey, we're trending to lose 3.7%. Good to know after producing 800,000 of our 4 or 5 million, we can make adjustments quickly. So it goes this year or last year, this year's plan, actuals to date, and then automatically tracks a trend to see how you're trending for your end. Okay. Anything else? It's good. Eric has raised a hand. Eric, I think just because this software won't allow you to talk to me, which I wish it would, you might have to type your question in and then I can get to it that way. Oh, there it is. We already answered this. Okay, cool. All right. Well, that is it, guys. Thanks for joining me. I hope this was informative. Please take at least one of these tools and use it. If you're working on a lot of this, like you're already trying to structure the company, you're looking at how to bring in efficiencies, you want to lead your people better. This is what we do as a company. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. I spent 10 years coaching almost 1,900 contractors in our organization. There's patterns that all of you have that we've seen from a bird's eye view that can be solved pretty quickly, right? It doesn't take a ton of guesswork. So I encourage you, get in touch with us. Let's see if what we do would help you. Let's see if we're a fit. We'll take some time to really look at that first together. And for a lot of you, we can solve a lot of this without so much headache. So that is why we're here. Just like you do the work you do for your customers, right? I don't recommend every customer goes up and roofs their own house or plumbs their own home or builds their own home, right? You've built out years of knowledge, education, experience, and you have the right tools to do it. We're the exact same thing, but for your business. So, okay, let's get back to our week. Good luck with your financials. Let's make some more money. I think hopefully all of you will save at least 1%, maybe even 5% by doing some of this work over the next year, which could be hundreds of thousands of dollars for some of you. So let's rock and roll. Have a good year.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.